231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Gospel of Kennison, episode 223. I'm your host, James Kennison. This is brought to you the week of November 16, 2024. This is my personal audio journal. So my son goes to sleep, and while he's sleeping, his phone goes dead. And all of his friends literally started freaking out. Apparently, if you're Gen Z and your phone dies, then you're dead. They were calling him and texting him. They were calling each other and texting each other. What's wrong with Jay? Why isn't he responding? Oh my goodness. One of them even got in their car and drove by the house. They didn't stop or anything. They just drove by to see if like his car was, I don't know. They finally called me. They got my number somehow. And I was like, yeah, he's fine. He's sleeping upstairs. And when he woke up, he, you know, plugs in his phone and it boots back up. And he had all these chats and messages and Instagram posts wondering if he was okay. So according to this generation, when a kid can't be found online, he's dead, right? And when I was a kid, we didn't know if a kid was dead until their face ended up on a milk carton. So it was a little, you know, it was a little slower, the word to get around, you know. But anyway, I had an experience this weekend, or last weekend, actually. We were at the mall, and it's this poor South County mall that's just barely holding on. Like the whole upstairs, there's no shops. It's all empty. And my wife almost hates going there because it just makes her sad. And to me, malls have a timeline. You know, they have a lifeline, and that's fine. It's fine with me. It doesn't make me sad that a building is going. All I think of is the guy that owns it, you know, and how, you know, I feel sorry for that guy, you know, a little bit, because he made money off it for a while, and I guess he's just trying to squeeze every penny out until it finally dies. But they have a V-Stock there, which is really cool. Lots of old toys and stuff, and vinyl pop figures, and there's a few places that are new, but they tend to be places that get stuff from overseas, import it, and then resell it. But one of them's done very well, and it's very brightly lit. It's very cute. I cannot remember the name of it because it was not in English, but it had lots and lots of tchotchkes from Japan. And I don't care what kind of stuff it is. I love looking at stuff that comes from Japan. And I was specifically looking as I went through for any possible Buzz Lightyears. I found tons of aliens, the aliens from Buzz Lightyear. They were everywhere. So apparently they're very popular. But as we walk back to the front, sure enough, I found two Buzz Lightyears. One was kind of weird. He was standing in a little round case, like plastic case. And he had a squeeze box. What do you call it? You know what I'm talking about. He had a squeeze box. That's the only word I can think of right now for it. And he had a couple speakers behind him. And he just has this cute buzz. And he had a pretty thick bass. And he was $20. And I was like, I don't know. But, you know, I haven't bought a buzz in a long time. So I did. I picked him up. Long story short, I opened him today. I never opened my buzzes, but I did. And the reason why he had a thick bass and, you know, a squeeze box is because he is a freaking music box. And I've never had a Buzz Lightyear music box. So it was a good purchase. And it also explains why it was $20. But then there was another buzz. And I was like, oh, he's so dang cute. Because he was out in the display. And there was a Woody. There was a Bo Peep. There was Dolly. There was the bear, you know, from the third one. The really good one. And there were six of them total. And that's when I realized these are blind boxes. Now, if you're not familiar with the term blind box, you are, whether you know it or not. It's kind of like Pokemon cards where you don't know what you're going to buy until you open them up. And Lego does the same thing. And it's become a very popular way because, you know, they cost between $4 or $7 and you have to buy multiples to get the one you want. And I wanted Buzz, obviously. And I was like, you know what? I will buy one. And then I will sell it on eBay because people will pay more than the asking price to get the one they want. And then I will come back here with the money I make from Amazon and I will buy, or no, my plan was not to buy another one. I'm not going to gamble more than once. I was going to use the money I got from eBay and buy the one I wanted from eBay because I knew it would be overpriced, but I would end up paying what I would have at the store, right? Because I get the money back. So that was my plan. And then I picked the thing up. $17, a gamble for $17. But I still had a plan, right? So I did it. I went up and bought it. I go to the truck and I open it up. And I grabbed the first one that I touched and I was like, maybe I should switch. No, it's just as much of a chance. It's 1 in 6 chance, you know, just buy it. So we're in the truck, open it up. Long story short, it's freaking Buzz Lightyear. My eyes just popped out of their head. I was like, holy crap. And Jen's like, great. You know, you just used up all of our good luck for the next 7 years or so on a freaking buzz. And I'm like, yes, but this is so awesome. And it was awesome because stuff like that never, ever happens to me. Never. And so I have the cutest little Buzz Lightyear ever. Maybe I'll take a picture of him and put him online, put him in the post so you can see him and love him. And his little legs bend and his little head turns and his little arms go. And he's just really boxy. Like the shape of the box almost, but curved over in the right places. So I don't know. I love him. I love him so much. And it was just, I didn't have to do any weird stuff to get him. I just bought him and got the first one. And I picked up the first one. I thought about changing it out and I didn't. I just said, you know what? Just go with the first one you picked up. It's just as good as anything else. And it turned out right. So everybody I've told about it, and it's been many people say, you need to go gambling now. And I'm like, no, I already did. That was it. That was my one shot. You know, like Eminem says, you only get one shot. And that was my shot. And I shot it and it turned out good. And that's it. So I hope, I hope your Thanksgiving is good. We're coming up on Thanksgiving next weekend. And I hope you have good plans. Whether you celebrate it in the traditional sense or have more of a Friendsgiving, or maybe you're alone. I don't know. But I hope no matter what your situation is that you have a good weekend. Me and my family are going to one of the Carolinas. I don't remember which one. My wife knows. But we're going to spend the weekend with the cousins and it's going to be a good time. And we're looking forward to it. So I'm looking forward to it because it's the first time that I will go up there skinny. And they always go out and do stuff like pickleball, or they'll go hiking, or they'll get on mountain bikes and they'll go out and do stuff. And I've never done any of that. And so I'm looking forward to being a part of the, you know, the stuff. So I'm very excited about that. So I've been killing it at work. I've been, what is it? Making videos. I did a product video. And I did a how-to video. They just love James doing videos. And I did a video of a screen capture of me turning AI-generated art from an AI generator software that we sell, taking that artwork and converting it into a UVDTF print, okay? So you don't need to understand all that. Just know that I did that. And I used a webcam, an old webcam that I had from around the house. I brought in an old recorder that I used to use back in the podcasting day, and an old mic arm that I used to use. And I put all this together at my desk, and people were like, "Ooh, wow, that's nice." And I'm like, this is old crap from so long ago. And I brought all that and forgot to get an SD card. And because the recorder needs, you know, a drive. And so I asked my boss, "Do you have an SD card?" And he loves it when I talk about technology. He loves to talk to me about technology. He likes to be hip on technology. So he was very happy to say that, yes, he did have an SD card. And he even said, "Do you need a mini SD or do you need a regular SD?" And I said, "I'm working with something really old. It needs an SD card." Okay. So he sent it down to me in the package, brand new. And then, so I did a test recording because I used it forever to record the podcast to, but I never used the built-in microphones because we sent a stereo signal right out of the back of the old mixer straight into the microphone input, 1/8-inch input on the stereo recorder. And it was always fine, but I'd never used the built-in mics. So I put a pad or a felt pad over the top, you know, like they used to use in the 80s on church mics. It's just this pad, you know, that helps the plosives. And plosives are P's and H's. Anything that would make the microphone, well, let me see if I can do it with this one. Puh, 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 you know, that kind of thing. This microphone is set up to not allow a lot of plosives, but that one was not. And so I put a foam thing over it and I was able to, it had a mount. So I screwed it onto the arm thing and everybody just thought, wow, how professional this looks. And I just kind of laughed because I'm like, this is cobbled together, 10-year old, you know, maybe even more equipment that hardly holds together. And I did a test on it and I upped the microphone recording value 10 points every time. And then I did a test and I was like, I'll put this on the computer from the recorder and I'll know where the mic needs to be based on how it sounds and what levels it's at. But guess what? James not only forgot an SD card, James didn't think about how he was going to get this sound onto a computer. My computer did not have an SD slot. I checked around to see if there was a USB cable because I'm like, this place is 100 years old. Surely there is a box of cables somewhere. And there was, but there was not one single one that would fit my old version of whatever kind of USB cable that there was. And so I went hunting for a USB dongle that would allow me to plug an SD card into. Nobody had such a thing, but a fella downstairs, I'll call him H, had a computer with an SD slot in it. He's like, this thing's old enough to where it has an SD slot in the front. I'm like, dude, can I use it? I'll plug it in. I'll drag and drop my audio into the network and then pick it up on my machine. He's like, absolutely. So that's how I got my stuff over. I did a sound check. I found that 60 was the recording level. And I used OSB, which is a screen recording software that also does other inputs at the same time. So I used my old webcam and I made a little square at the bottom with my face and torso in the bottom corner. And I recorded a how-to video on how to turn AI-generated content into usable UVDTF content. And it went really well. I not only recorded it, I edited it down and got all of the descriptions and the tags and the chapter markings. And I upped the audio quality by exporting the audio, pulling it up in Audition and doing my magic works to it. Matter of fact, I was pretty slick, I gotta say. Okay, so the Adobe Audition is a sound editing software. I use it at home all the time, and I have my settings, right? I have my special settings. I have this secret sauce that I run on all my audio that compresses it. And that doesn't mean it makes it into an MP3. It means it crushes down the loud points and brings up the low points. So if John and I are drastically different in the way we sound, when I run this, it brings up his volume, brings my volume down. It also decreases sound under a certain level because it assumes that it is noise. And so it makes the audio sound really good. And we're seeing that now. The reason why you hear me and it doesn't sound like I'm recording on a Zoom call is because we have these compressors, limiters, and gates involved. And it's all running digitally now through the Rodecaster Pro 2 that I now use. So what I needed to do is I needed to get the settings from my home computer to be able to do the compressor, the Dynamics processing that I needed to do on the stuff I just recorded. And I can't access my remote desktop. There's an amazing app for Chrome called Remote Desktop. And you can use any Chrome browser anywhere in the world once you've got it activated, and you can log into your home computer. I use it all the time. But the firewall at work doesn't let you get through to my machine. But then I had the idea, let's go through my phone, because the phone is not connected to the Wi-Fi, it's connected to the data network. And sure enough, I got logged in, and I was able to open up Audition on my home computer, pull up a waveform, go into my settings, and copy line for line the secret sauce into the computer at work. And I was able to run, the secret sauce on the audio, and it just made it pop. It made it sing. It made the quiet parts that were supposed to be super quiet. It made the mid parts louder. It made it sound more like a radio quality voice. And that I was super proud of. So I found the guy that had the slot and I transferred it over, and I realized then that I didn't have a headset to listen to the recorder because the recorder is old and all it had, it didn't have USB, and all I have is USB headphones for my computer. So I had to go around and ask anybody if they had headphones with a jack, and a fella named Jay had headphones that would plug into the jack. And so I was able to live monitor, and I did my video, and it turned out great. It is now being looked over by my boss and approved, hopefully, and I will put it up, possibly put it in Patreon so you guys can see it. My issue with all of this good stuff is kind of tied to something I talked about last week, and that is I'm up right now, so when do I go back down? And I talked to my wife about it last night on date night, is I made quite a splash Friday, not only because of the equipment and the video, but I also bought a hand warmer, and I had the idea of taking a reptile lamp, just this tiny one, that you use to keep your reptiles warm, and shine it down on my hand so it's not going to pop a fuse. And people came by in droves as the rumor mill got around that James had this really cool way to keep his hand warm. And my boss even came in and he's like, my wife struggles. She has this issue where her hands turn white. She wears gloves and tries to work a computer. Let me take a picture of this and send it to her. I said, dude, yeah, buy her two. They're only $15 a piece on Amazon. I sent him the link And I sent several people the link. And more than one person came by and took a picture. And then other people wanted to feel it, you know, what it feel like. And I was very popular on Friday. But I got really, really introspective and kind of scared. Because I don't know if people like me because they like me. And I've had this problem my whole life. Or do they like what I can do? Now, there are people there that like me for me because I've been friendly, I've been loving, I've been accepting, I've been hardworking. But eventually, more of me comes out and the things that I can do, because I don't do much, but I can do a lot of things kind of well. I've never focused on one thing and gotten really, really good at it, except for maybe podcasting. And I still don't think I'm great. I'm just so-so. I mean, the numbers don't lie. I have a very small, very dedicated audience. People are your best friends when you're able to perform and do what they need you to do, but not so much when you can't. And so I worry. I'm very worried. Because there will come a day when I am not feeling smiley and happy and I don't podcast and I don't feel like doing videos. And so I'm kind of at an impasse where do I just keep going as long as the going's good and then deal with it when I'm sad? Or do I sit down with my boss and tell him in advance that, yeah, you have this guy that can do all this stuff, but here is the balance. You know, there's always a balance. There's always something about a person that makes them just as good, you know, as everybody else. Or just as messed up, I guess, as everybody else is what I should say. It's an equalizer. And mine is I have brain disease. I have mental disorders. I get depressed. So I'm not having a negative confession, you know, I'm not believing in my healing because I am. I pray for it every day, well, 5 days a week. I'm just facing the truth. There is a pattern to this. I've lived it long enough to know that the highs never last forever, even though they feel like they will. And the lows never last forever, even though they feel like they will. And I am in a up state. I'm not super high or anything, but I'm creative and I'm doing things and creating things and having no problem podcasting, having no problem putting extra work into podcasting, no problem at work, putting in work there. But as I said last week, all it's going to take is one bad day. And then everything changes. And everybody doesn't like me again. Or they decide they don't like me because I'm not useful anymore. I can't do what they want me to do. And this is why I gave up my job in Florida. Not because anybody pushed me out, but because I couldn't do the job. And I couldn't handle being paid to do a job I couldn't do. They deserved a pastor that could serve their church properly. And in order for that to happen, I had to get out of the way. That's half the truth. The other half is I could read the writing on the wall. An idiot could read the writing on the wall. The board was not going to be as forgiving and kind and gracious as my pastor was being. And when he told me that if I didn't get up there on Wednesday night and tell everybody how great the year had gone, even though the year had not gone great, that the board was going to be asking questions. And what do I tell them? And I said, will you tell them that you accepted my resignation? Because I'd already submitted it. And that was it. I wasn't going to go stand in front of the board and get yelled at and get judged and get questioned. That would kill me. Have everything I did called into question. I mean, they had already, after they found out that I was depressed, they'd already said they were going to have someone come in and monitor me while I did children's ministry. And they sure did. They sent somebody in. I saw them come in. To their credit, they left about 30 minutes later, and then nobody ever came back. You know why? Because I could do children's ministry. It would be torture waking up, getting dressed, getting ready. There would be tears shed. But when I got up on that stage, I don't know. I don't know why, but I could do it. There's a Katy Perry tour documentary out there. And her husband, he leaves her. And she's devastated. And she's walking under the stage, going toward the little elevator that's going to take her up to the stage. And she's bawling her eyes out. She's absolutely a wreck. But she gets on that thing. She kneels down, gets in position, kind of shakes her head, puts a smile on her face, and that thing rises. And she does her show. And I was almost in tears myself because I know that feel. I know how that feels. I mean, part of our set was a couch. And I would just sit on that couch pre-show. Couldn't even talk to kids. And I would just look over my notes so that I would remember what I was supposed to say. Anyway, the whole thing is that people love you when you're able to perform. And then when you can't maintain the level. And so I've kind of learned to maintain, right? But I broke my own rule and I let some of me out. I let my talent show because they knew I podcasted. They knew I was a children's pastor, but now I'm using those skills that I've learned and they love it. And I love it. I love doing it. I love editing video a whole lot more than I like taking care of a website. I mean, taking care of a website is a dream job, but it doesn't keep me super busy. And I like to be super busy. Because it makes the day go by faster. But so I'm just sharing my worries right here. I'm talking them out. And so do I go and talk to him in advance or do I wait until it gets bad to go talk to him? Well, I think logic dictates that I talk to him while I've still got my head on straight. But still, I've gotten to the point where I'm ashamed of it again. Because you know why? Because I've got stuff to lose. I didn't have anything to lose. I was at the bottom. But I have relationships. I have good relationships with everybody at that place. And I don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to know. So I don't want to go talk to him. But I should, right? I mean, better then than after I've failed him. When he asks me to do a video and not only do I have to say no, I have to tell him why. And so it's this big double shot. I should do it. I should do it before I go on holiday. Those of you that pray for me, pray for me. So there are some shows coming that I'm very excited about. I haven't watched much TV, but I've been slipping it in while I'm doing podcast editing. I've been finding time in my day to unplug a little and watch video on one screen and do a little bit of work on the other screen. And when I say work, it's podcast work or, you know, artwork kind of stuff. And I'll tell you what I've been watching in a minute, but I just want to go through some stuff that I'm excited about that's going to be on Disney Plus specifically. There's going to be a show called Star Wars Skeleton Crew, and it's a live action show, but it revolves around kids. And so I'm very hopeful that it'll be one of the good Star Wars shows, because there's a lot of crappy Star Wars shows out there. There's some good ones. Mandalorian's good. Andor was really, really good. I still liked, even with the questionable content, I still liked, I can't remember what, Outlier or whatever it was called. I can't remember what that one's called. I don't have it written down, but, Skeleton Crew, being that it's around kids, it could have a strong Goonies vibe to it, but in the Star Wars universe, at least that's what it looks like. So I'm all about that. Andor season two, which Andor is one of the characters from my favorite Star Wars movie called Rogue One. And this is just about his past. And he's one of the first, his character represented the first dark side of being on the rebellious side, the rebellion being the good guys. You know what I'm talking about, from the first and second, or the fourth and fifth movies, the original thing. We were always led to believe that the rebellion were completely clean-handed. You know, they never got their hands dirty. It was very black and white. Well, Andor's character is he does the dirty work that has to be done to make sure the rebellion succeeds. And you see that in the almost the first scene of Rogue One, where he gets information from a guy, and the guy has a limp, and the stormtroopers see him at the end of the alley, and Andor's like, "Let's climb out." And he's like, "I can't." And Andor knows that that guy's going to get caught, that he's going to be tortured, that the information is going to be given. He can't risk it. He shoots the guy and climbs out of the alley. So that's what I'm talking about, the dark side of the rebellion. And so Andor's this complex character that is relatable, but in a whole different way than even Han Solo. Han Solo was the bad guy, right? And or the tough guy, you know, in his series. But Andor is so much more complex because he has a conscience and he believes in what is right, but he is doing a job that requires, you know, these darker deeds. And so anyway, you get to see his past, and I'm really looking forward to a season two. I didn't know they were going to do a season two. Season one was really great. It's slow burn, but it's very interesting and very well done. Ironheart is one that I'm hopeful for. It is about a young Chicago black girl that's very, very smart, and she apparently has been chosen by Stark, Iron Man, you know, after his death, to kind of take up his mantle and build her own suit. And apparently we saw her at the end of Wakanda Forever. And I've never seen Wakanda Forever because I think they should have done Wakanda with it forever with another man in the suit to keep up with the comics. So I've never seen it. And there's a lot of Marvel movies that have disappointed me. The Immortals disappointed me. Miss Marvel disappointed me. You know, She-Hulk disappointed me, even though it was funny. It's not the Marvel of 10 years ago. That's for darn sure. And if they can get out of their own butt, Disney might have a chance with Ironheart. But the problem that I've seen is that it was filmed in 2022, and it's been in what they call production hell, I think is what they call it. For the last 2 years, there's been a lot of reshoots, a lot of reworking. So maybe I predict that it's going to suck. Okay. But I wish it wouldn't, because Black people need heroes. They do. Black people need to see themselves on screen doing really great things. And so do white people. So do Puerto Ricans. So do everybody. But in this country, our Black folks need heroes. They need very good heroes. And that's why I love this idea, but I'm afraid it's going to have so much Disney in it and their agenda, their not so secret agenda to indoctrinate people, that just ruins shows. It ruined Lightyear, you know, it ruined, that awesome one I was trying to think of the name of earlier. And it could ruin Ironheart. And there was another show that they put out where the main character's female, she's Native American, she has a handicap and something else. I mean, it's like everything that could be wrong with a person, or not wrong. It's not wrong to be obviously, Native American. But everything, every special thing that could be for a person, you know, this character had it, and it just, it's like, okay, it's like, I've been looking forward to, Agatha. It was Agatha all along because I loved the series, WandaVision, and I loved Agatha's character. She was great. And it had a great twist at the end with her involved. And so they made a spinoff show. But within the first episode was crazy awesome. And then they pull her out of that, and she's real, and she has this kid that wants to learn from her, and it seems cool. And then all of a sudden he gets a phone call from his boyfriend, and they just very, very loudly and very obviously announce that he's gay. I don't have a problem with a gay character in a show. I've said in the past that I think they're overrepresented. And I think people are they're being used to push an agenda. I do believe that. I don't have problems with gay people. I believe they need love. I believe they are a harvest field. I believe they need to go to heaven. I believe they need Jesus just like everybody else. So I have lots of love for the gay community. Here's my issue, and I would have an issue with it even if I was gay, because I'm built the way I'm built, is why did you announce it? Why did you make it so obvious? That is a cheap writing trick. You're supposed to show, not tell. Okay? You're supposed to show, not tell. So over the course of an episode or two episodes, I should be able to know that he's gay without you doing the obvious, showing the screen a guy's photo. He's my boyfriend. He worries too much. Now my character is the gay guy. And that irritated me on not a moral level, on a writing level, on a creative level. And I shut that crap off, and I'm not going to watch it. Because that's just cheating, first of all. And it's way obvious. And if that's a hint at the writing of the show, I'm done. I'm done with that. You know, the one that let me pause. All right, so the one I've been referring to several times is called The Acolyte, okay? The Acolyte, the big deal with that is there were two gay women that were the mothers of the twins in the series. But you know what? They didn't make it stupid. They didn't make it, like, preachy. And I could handle it. I don't know. You maybe couldn't, maybe you see things the way I see, I don't know, but James could handle it. And it was a great series. It really, really was. And a lot of people missed out, and maybe Agatha All Along is a great series, but I have an issue with the way the story was being told. It's like, shove it down my throat. I don't want that. I don't want that. I just present it like normal. You don't go out of your way to show that people are heterosexual. Why would you go out of your way to show that they're gay? You know what I'm saying? Just let it be what it is. Treat them like normal people. That's what they claim to want, right? Is to just fit into society. But typically when people are in a special group, they want you to know. So I just think that they're hurting themselves. Ironheart, I think they are editing out, in theory, some of their agenda. That's what I guess. And if they do, I'll give it a shot because I like Marvel. But I don't know what, I don't like what Disney's done with a lot of my favorite stuff. So, whatever. My scale, scale in my bathroom says I'm under 185, which means I am no longer obese, but I am, according to the government, still overweight. I would have to lose an additional 12 pounds to be within the norms. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't have it to lose. So I talked to the dietitian that was attached to me when I paid for my surgery. And we're 7 months out, and I texted her or emailed her, and she said to ignore what the government says is fat because it doesn't take into account your build. She's like, people that work out and have muscles, you know, it doesn't apply to them, and it doesn't apply to me. So I said, dadgummit, I'm happy at 185. I got down to 183 this week, and then it rebounded to 184. So I am under 185, and I think that's going to be the sweet spot for me. That was kind of my unofficial last stretch goal. And I feel good. Jen and I went and got clothes. I'm wearing medium button-up shirts, which is crazy. I'm wearing medium undershirts under those, which is crazy. Never thought in a million years I would be at that level, but that's what fits me. We went and bought me a coat, which I needed badly, and thank God we did, because we went to Brewery Lights this weekend, or this week, and that was really cool, because Jenna drove down to go with us, and we went to the brewery, and it was only open for people as a preview of the night before, and so we got to get in, and it was still crowded, but it wasn't as crazy as it's going to be, you know, on the regular nights. And it was so cold, and the wind was blowing so hard, but it was really fun. It was lots of lights, and there were rides for the kids, and there was a magician, and you know, a tunnel of lights to walk through, a couple of them actually. They had these big giant LED Christmas trees that logos would flash on, and different designs and stuff. There was a little parade, and the parade, it was very little, okay, very little. A couple of them were just tractors with lights on them. So, but there was two Clydesdales pulling, you know, a wagon, and it was so cool seeing them move. We see them all the time because we live right next to the brewery, and they're out every day. But to see them clomping on the asphalt and their big giant hooves and pulling a wagon, and they do this neck thing, you know, they've taught them to do it where they jerk their necks up, their whole head, and it just looks so cool. So anyway, very amazing. Do you know that all of the Clydesdales that you see pulling are males? Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting. I walked every day last week. So the week before that, I reported I'd done no walking, but I did repent of my ways. I did repent, and I began to walk. And there was one morning that I couldn't do it, and I started to go back to sleep, and I woke up 18 minutes later, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to sleep. So I got up and walked, and my day was tight. My morning was tight, rather, but I still got it done. So there you go. John and I just Thursday recorded the wedding theme show, which we've been prepping for about a month and a half. And it was a lot of fun. We shared a lot of funny wedding stories. And we, in the bonus content, we shared a couple of our own, or a few of our own, actually. So if you want to, you can listen to that story show, episode 489. And enjoy it. My favorite part is the recap songs. I've really been enjoying going through and writing these in advance rather than trying to do them live, because I am not a hip hop freestyle rapper, but I can put together a rhyme. So there was one story, I'll spoil it for you, about it's told from the groom's perspective, and he got to his wedding and there were just roses everywhere in the back of the church, down the sides of the church, across the front baptismal area of the church, and he just thought it was gorgeous. But right after the wedding, these guys show up and start taking them out the back door, like fast. And as they're signing, you know, their paperwork with the pastor, he asks his new bride, where are they taking the flowers? And she works for a flower delivery company. I should have said that at the beginning. She said, oh, those are for a funeral. And flowers are expensive, so I borrowed them. And I'm like, that is the most cursed thing I've ever heard of. And she took those flowers from probably some lady's funeral. You know, I can't imagine a dude would have just that many white flowers. So I went off of that concept that it was cursed and wrote a recap song. So I want to share the rhyme with you. There's a tiny little lady who lived so long ago in a tiny 90s house with a secret of her own. She was crafty and knew magic, and she'd use it all the time. She'd made a deal with Satan and the next day up and died. Her will was read. Here's what it said. No expenses shall be spared. White roses all around me from my feet up to my head. They'll be taken from my garden where the blood of goats was spread. They'll be perfect for my funeral. Cursed white roses filled with red. Holy Moses, bride needs roses. Oh, so many, pretty penny. She's got envy, so she takes the roses as if they're complimentary. She was bridal, not suicidal. Didn't know that they were cursed, though a clue surfaced after the service limo was a hearse. Now their life is doomed. Spiders fill up every room. Children born with little horns, always raining, constant storms. Funeral invader. She saved paper. No persuader. No one made her take the roses from the fridge. Now every door a squeaky hinge. So I enjoy it. I enjoy doing the recap songs. And so if you listen to the show, make sure you listen all the way through the end, because I put a little bit of passion into every one of them. And again, it's another example of me putting myself out there, doing things extra that won't happen when I can't do the show, and it will torture me. Everything that is wonderful that I can do turns into torture when I'm down. So I don't know. But moving along, I mentioned that was episode 489 that you can listen to hear that live. And then I spoiled it, but episode 500 is coming up, and John and I did the math. And that would mean if we did a show every week, except for Christmas and Thanksgiving, that the 500th episode would be February 27th of 2025. And that's crazy, because that will be 19 years coming this December. And it's 500 episode. If you did the math, we should have over 1,000. But there's so many times we couldn't do the show. There was a whole 2-year gap where I couldn't do podcasting. I couldn't do it. And so there's a lot less. But 500 is still a milestone. And we don't know quite what we're going to do for it. We're thinking about going back and finding clips and responding to them. And then I would love to have people call in and just leave congratulations or their favorite story or something like that. And finding people that used to listen to the show that were big back in the day, podcasters and listeners. And when I say big, I don't mean big names or anything like that, because there's nobody like that. I just mean people that were really involved in the show and helped to shape it into what it is now, and fellow podcasters that have been around for the ride. It'd be really cool to track some of those people down and get them to just send us an audio clip that we could play. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago and last week, but John and I set a date for NarthexCon in Atlanta, and it's June 28th, 4 p.m. 2025. So if you live in that area, I'd love to meet you, and John would love to meet you. So we're not going to be doing GOK, but we'll do that story show, and you could have dinner with us afterwards. It'd be fun. Everything's good, though. Everything's going well. I've got no reason to think anything's going to go down. I know it sounds like that, but the only reason why I'm worried about it at all is because that's when it happens, is when I'm up, you know? And I've been up for a while. And so maybe I'll be up for another 3 months. I don't know, but I always think it'll last forever, and it never does. But everything is good right now. And I have this medicine that I take that is called clonazepam. And it is, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I ran out of it. And I'm constantly running out of it because I have you have to have an appointment with your doctor. And I don't get calls to remind me because the assistant just doesn't do it anymore. She used to. I thought she would do it. She didn't. I missed it. And I went to refill, couldn't refill, ran out. It was the weekend, couldn't get a hold of anybody. Started to go slightly crazy and get brain zaps and buzzing in my ears and all the other withdrawal symptoms that you get from medicine that you really need for anxiety. And that was the day I cried at work and all that kind of stuff. So this time, well, no, that was my antidepressant. My bad. This time I caught it in advance. I was able to refill it and get it. And that seems normal, but it was a big deal. And so there was no downtime. And so I've decided to take this thing on because it's such a big deal. I've taken it on myself. I'm not depending on anybody's assistance. I'm not dependent on the Walgreens to remind me, you know, because the app tries to sometimes, and I don't know that it really does a good job. So I got the medicine and I opened up the calendar and I said, you know what? 4 weeks from when I ordered this, I need a reminder to reorder it. And I set it up forever. Every 4 weeks on a Monday, I'm going to remember to order this medication or call my doctor and ask for a refill. And I'm going to do that with every medication. When I refill it, I'm going to put it on the calendar. It would be great if I could get it all synchronized. And maybe you guys know of a trick that can do that. Because every one of these pretty much is a 30-day refill. So anyway, I got it. And it was a success. It was a successful moment. Jen is doing great. She took us to the brewery lights, like I said. It's really fun. Usually, you know, big crowds used to bug me, but it was great. There was an empty stage that I guess they're going to use when all the real people come. My kids got up on it with a little urging and they did a dance and I took pictures of it. I took so many pictures that Google Photos said, we put this into a little GIF for you. And you could see them kind of stop motioning around the stage, you know, and I sent it to everybody and they thought it was great. Jenna drove down to see us. I already mentioned that. But she left her doggie with us, Georgie, for the weekend. And my dogs hate Georgie, but Georgie is huge. She's bigger than both my dogs put together. And she is wonderful. And she loves being around people. She loves her friends, the doggies, and they hate her. They hate her. And it makes me hate them because they're so mean to her. She just wants to play. She wants to be friends. She wants to lay next to them. And they don't want anything to do with her. They think she is garbage. And she is. And that's why I love her. She came out from the woods. She was born in the grass. She drank from streams, you know? And she's wonderful. If you've never seen a picture of her, just imagine Tramp from Lady and the Tramp. And that's what this dog looks like. Could play the live action version of that movie. She's just a mess. So, and I always call him a him and I get in trouble. So whoever says gender is fluid and doesn't matter has never guessed somebody's pet's gender wrong because they will correct you so hard. You mean she. I'm like, oh, sorry. Sorry, all dogs are boys and all cats are girls in my stupid brain. So Jay asked to go over to a friend's house. And then later he texted me, because I don't know if I mentioned this, that I became the person he has to ask to go places. And that involved me in his life again. And so now he has to be nice to me and talk to me. So he, you know, asked, can I go to a friend's house? And then he knows he was pushing it. He says, can I stay the night? And I just texted him. I said, are you going to be responsible? He says, yes, sir. And I said, well, you keep being trustworthy and the world is yours. And that is the rule. That is the just like you can't spoil a kid who is truly grateful. You can't spoil a kid that's truly grateful. And you can let a kid do almost anything if you know you can trust them. And so that's where we're at with Jay. And I love that. Love that about him. And he is trustworthy. What am I reading, watching, playing, doing? I'm reading a book called Shift. It's the second book in the Silo Saga. The first book is called Wool. It's a series on Apple Plus. If you haven't seen it, it's worth it. It's worth watching. It's different than the book, of course. I think the book is better, obviously. But Shift is a second series in the saga. There's a third book I've yet to read. I don't even know what it's called, but the second book is very good. I was in a situation with Audible where I had 4 credits, right? I think I told you about this last week. If I did, forgive me. I'll try to be brief. I had 4 credits and I wanted to cancel because I wasn't using it like I did. But if you cancel, you lose your credits and they kind of have you over a barrel. Yeah, I did share this last week. So I bought 4 books. Is what I did. I bought all 4 of the existing books in the what they call on TV the Game of Thrones series. It's called the story, the Song of Ice and Fire, and it's not overly sexualized like the show apparently is. So I'm looking forward to that. But first, I'm going to get through the Silo Saga. I've been watching Clone Wars. Because I've been walking and I watch that show while I'm walking. It is a 3D animated cartoon series that was created by George Lucas himself. It is pure Star Wars and it is so good. Took a while for it to grow on me, but now I love all the characters. I love Ahsoka. I love Anakin. And you can see his little dark side poking through once in a while, his struggle. And you can see the way the Emperor is manipulating him and all this. But they always start with this yellow Star Wars logo, you know, dun, 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 but it says Clone Wars, you know, Star Wars Clone Wars. But I was watching it and it was red. It popped in as red. And I'm like, what the heck? And so I felt like I was 5 years old because, you know, I think middle schoolers were the target audience. So maybe 5th grade. I was like, what? Something special about this episode, you know? And sure enough, they found that Darth Maul from episode 1 was still alive. And so Darth Maul is now trying to go after Obi-Wan for revenge. And it's getting really good, dude. So it's very good. I also watched a movie. I believe it's on Netflix called Don't Move. The premise, I won't do any spoilers, but it's a girl that gets injected with this stuff that over time makes her more and more paralyzed. And she has to save herself from this guy, this serial killer who injected her. And her fight for survival begins. And it's so good. It's so good. So go watch Don't Move. Alien Romulus. I didn't know about this movie. Maybe it came out in theaters, but it popped up on, I think it was Hulu. Hulu or Netflix. I can't remember. I usually like to tell you, but I didn't write it down. And I love the Alien series. I love Alien. I love all of it. And except for the Alien versus Predator stuff. And yeah. But this one was a really good episode in the series. And it takes place between the first movie Alien and the second movie Aliens. And so it's really good. It's really, really good. So if you like Aliens, go see Alien Romulus for free on your streaming service. And if you, again, I've said this before, if you want to know what's playing before you go rent something digitally, go to justwatch.com and plug in the streaming services you have, and it will show you what is playing on all of your different platforms, and you can search for the movie you want to watch and see if it's streaming before you spend $4 on Amazon Prime to rent it. And I use this all the time. I also watched Woman of the Hour. I know for a fact that's on Netflix because it has one of my favorite actresses from Pitch Perfect in it. And she also sang in Frozen. And I'm just blanking on her name right now. But she's great. And it's just based on a true story of a girl that got matched on the dating game in the 70s or early 80s with a serial killer. So it goes back and tells some of his story. And it is, it ends very well and very satisfyingly. And, it's really good. I suggest it if you like a little suspense. I've been playing nothing. I've had some time to play games, but I end up turning that into time spent editing and updating and fixing my website or watching shows. And I do this. I go through phases where I play games, and then I go through phases where I watch movies, that I do crafts, that I work on my website. And so I've got stuff that I want to play. I want to finish Jedi Outcast, which is really good. And I got a brand new game called Star Wars Outlaws that is going on sale right now on Steam for $59. And I got it when I got the new computer for free as a, like a bonus thing. And it's an open world Star Wars and I can't wait to play it, but I haven't yet. What I did is I shaved the dogs, and I'd put it off so long. Both of them couldn't see. They had hair hanging down in their eyes, and I shaved them, and I didn't want to. I was not feeling great yesterday, but I did it. I did it, and that's all I have to say about it. They were bad, but I shaved them very well, even to the point that my son said, "Moffitt's not ugly," because usually when I shave him down, he's ugly. That's what Jay says. But I worked really hard on his face. Trimmed him all the way down. He was pretty matted, especially his ears, not his face so much, but he doesn't mind me cleaning up his face. And I think it's because he you know, Shih Tzus have this, they weep. They have this black crap that comes out of their eyes all the time. And I think he likes having all that gone. And so he lets me work on him. That's it. That's all I've got. I always like to leave with a closing thought. And this one might take a while, but I'll just start off this way. I have a friend, his name's David, and a few years ago, and we've been friends the whole time, I mean, for like 28 years, 29 years, something like that, and it was maybe 5-6 years ago, I realized something about him is the man, I've never heard him whisper. And there's been times at restaurants that I wished he had, because he's very, he says things very, very, that they don't have, there's nothing wrong with what he says. But if somebody misheard him, they might get mad. If they were only playing to the keywords instead of hearing the context, they might get upset, because he's not an old man that doesn't know what he's saying. He knows what he's saying. He says it very deliberately, and there's no shame in describing people, you know, and stuff like that. But even when I was younger and he would talk about his faith and Bible stuff, I would get kind of ashamed. Not anymore, because everybody's got their thing now and there's no shame in nothing anymore. So it's like, why be shamed at the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know? But he never was a whisperer. And I realized why. I talked to my wife about it. I said, it's because he never says anything he shouldn't say. And I bring it up because at work, I'm surrounded by whisperers. Almost every person, no, I won't say that, but I am surrounded by whisperers. Not every person whispers. But there's a lot of whispering going on. And people lean to me and they whisper stuff. And I'm realizing it's because of it's stuff they shouldn't say out loud. And people get behind me and they'll whisper to each other. And I've heard that whispering is considered rude. Like, I've heard old people say that, but I don't hear it anymore. And people do it constantly at work. And it's funny because they'll whisper to me something about the boss and I'll respond. And I don't whisper. I say it out loud because I've learned not to whisper. I made a promise. You know, David doesn't whisper. I'm not going to whisper. I'm going to make sure everything I say could be heard by the person as if they're in the room. And something I wouldn't say, I won't say. You know, if they weren't in the room and I wouldn't say it, I won't say it behind their back. And I think it shakes them up. And I think I get a lot less whispers now than I would. Because I don't whisper back. And if somebody catches me off context, then I can tell them what I was saying. And, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to be this guy that has to look over my shoulder and wonder if somebody's going to walk in on the middle of my sentence and I suddenly have to straighten up and act like I'm working. So I'm always working and I don't whisper. And so my closing thought today is don't whisper. Now, we're not talking about keeping secrets from kids. And we're not talking about the whispering you do in a library. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the whispering we do when we don't want people to hear what we're saying. If it needs to be whispered, it probably needs to not be said in that setting or in that context. And that just moves right into, if you have to hide what you're saying, you probably shouldn't say it. Especially people of faith. We're not supposed to gossip. Gossip is mentioned so many times as one of the things that we're not supposed to be doing. But that is what we do. It's one of the acceptable sins of the church is to gossip. And gossiping is a quick thing to fall into. I'm not going to say I haven't fallen into it. Because it is around me everywhere. And I will say something and I realize, holy crap, I just gossiped. And the only thing I can say in my defense, which I think is fair, is that I haven't been around people for 10 years. And I'm not as on guard as I have been. But from now on, I didn't say anything bad. I just said something that I wouldn't have said to their face. Like I agreed with something someone said. So it wasn't my favorite moment. I don't even remember what it was. I just remember hating myself a little bit and being like, we need to stop that. And that's going to be the last time we do that. And, you know, I'm not going to be brought up somewhere. Did you say such and such? Because that's the way that stuff goes. If you say it out loud, it's not going to come back to you. And if it does, you can say, yes, I said that. Absolutely. And here's what I meant by it. And here's the context it was said in. And I said it out loud to everyone. I had a situation like that at work one time when I was at Sheffield in Kansas City, where a guy came and sat down in my office, and he was the husband of one of the pastors. And he said, did you say that you didn't like my wife or something like that? I don't remember what it was exactly. But I said, no, I haven't gone around and told people that I don't like your wife. I said, but I will say this. I mean, I said, you know, you and I and her and my wife, we've been out together. We ate dinner together. We've been to the movies together. I said, But I will say this, that your wife's personality and my wife's personality kind of clash. I don't hate her. I don't have any bad feelings towards her. But yeah, I didn't say she's not my favorite person. I just said our personalities clashed. And dude, it just deflated the whole situation because I was able to be honest and I didn't have anything to apologize for because I hadn't gone around and talked to everybody about how I hated her because I didn't hate her. She just wasn't my favorite person. Her personality was very strong and she kind of walked over people. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that, but I didn't hate her and I didn't gossip about her. And so apparently people had, and so he was just going from room to room, getting whoever he could. And I can't say I blame him, but I wasn't one of the people. So anyway, my closing thought is don't whisper. Don't whisper. All right. Thanks for listening. This show is brought to you by our supporting listeners on Patreon. With special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Join the community and become a supporting listener today at patreon.com/GOK. I'll send you a sticker and some stuff. It'll be great. Email me your feedback, thoughts, and questions, especially concerning whether I tell the boss or not. James@nlcast.com. If you're a patron, just leave a message and I'll get back to you. For everything else, visit gokcast.com and we'll see you guys next week. God bless.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Is it curling up on the couch for a cozy, peaceful night in? Therapy can feel a bit like that, your comfort place where you replenish your energy. With BetterHelp, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, entirely online. It's convenient and suited to your schedule. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.